Is it going to me? It's news according to me. Here we are. Another fine morning with, what is this, Tuesday? January. It's already January 26th. The year is almost over. Wow. 8:29 in the morning. I think I'm in my home studio this morning again. This is, of course, I was up late last night. I guess that's my excuse. So those of you who don't know, we got a new home studio coming to you live, recorded from, it's a live recording, from my home studio, which was supposed to get me up doing this earlier. And it didn't work. Because I was up too late last night doing this thing here. So, the puppies are right here with me. And of course just all the morning stuff. You know what it is. I don't have to fill you in on what happens in the morning. So, we are, we're rapidly approaching February. Make sure you pronounce that correctly. Because certain people out there are the pronunciation Nazis. So this morning I'm going to talk about a few things. One thing is this Rand Paul thing. Rand Paul, and I talked about it last night a little bit, but I actually have the sound clip today, and we'll discuss that. It's I'm laughing because my dogs are trying to play out there, and it's rather hilarious. One dog tries to play, the other dog tries to hide from him. So, and it used to be the other way around. But anyway, the Stephanopoulos thing with Rand Paul was really, really interesting. I'm going to be playing that in a little bit here. But a lot of other things going on. Just a lot of little, it's not anything real big in the news other than, like what we were used to. We kind of desensitized us to stuff happening in the news because it's all the big stuff that was going on there for a couple weeks. I do want to talk a little bit this morning about hopium. Because we seem to have an issue in this country right now with a lot of issues on what I would call conspiracy wackiness. We call them conspiracy theories, but it's not everything is a conspiracy theory. Just a lot of misinformation, and I think it becomes disinformation. And maybe it started by somebody with the purpose of disinformation. Very well could be. But regardless of how it starts or what happens with it, it's like the old. There were several different names for this game we used to play. It was called Telegram, Telegraph, Telephone, Telewoman, whatever the game was you called. It's when one person talks to, you say one thing on one end, and then you pass it on from one person to the next, and by the time it gets to the end of like 20 people, it has nothing to do with what it started out as. You could start with, the socks are soaking in the sink, and the corn is cooking on the stove. By the time it got to the 20th person, it was Miami dog facing the banana patch. It's a you never knew. That's an old Steve Martin joke. It's a, you never know what it's going to be at the end. It's always something totally different. It could end up being my Chevy van drove off a cliff. It's just, you just don't know. And that's kind of what we have today. You know, it's, and this used to be more of a problem when people would tell stories and they would travel from one village to the next, or you had a newspaper that, you know, would be read by one person, and then it would be told, the story would be told by 12 other people, which is kind of the way I do it here. I read all the headlines, I look at all the videos, and I tell you guys, I give you guys the summary of what's going on in the world, according to me. I put that disclaimer in there because it's just according to me. It's not according to, you know, anything else. I don't, you know. So here's just kind of a rundown of some of the stuff we got going on in the world. So we have this, probably the biggest thing right now in hitting the news is the impeachment trial that is still looming and still out there. And now they're trying to figure out how to do this dog and pony show and make it look like it has any kind of credibility at all. So, according to the Constitution, impeachment is basically for the purpose of removing someone from office. Nancy Pelosi was waving her arms in the air and saying that just because he, you know, only has a month in office doesn't mean he gets a get out of jail free card because of because he only has a month left and there's no time to impeach him. Much like some other Democrat presidents have done in the last month of their term. So, but the purpose of impeachment, according to the Constitution, is to remove them from office. That's kind of a weak argument, but it's there. It's not a super powerful argument. Now, if you can go back, and of course, everybody's making this argument that if you can go back and impeach somebody who was in office, then we can go back and impeach anybody for the last 200 years. So what is their purpose? The real purpose is this is a political hack job. Because what I mean by that is they simply want to disable Trump from running again. I mean, if they had it their way, they'd put him in prison. These are the things that they told us couldn't be done to Hillary Clinton because you don't go after your political rival, your political opponent. Okay, so you guys are upholding this standard, this righteous standard there from your temple of democracy, where you uphold the Constitution. That you're somehow now that doesn't apply now because this is because Orange Man bad. That's why. They should just introduce a bill called Orange Man Bad that gives Congress the right to do anything they want to. So we have that going on. It's still looming, and here's the dog and pony show, and here's the way it's panning out. According to the Constitution, Justice Roberts is supposed to preside over the impeachment. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court is supposed to preside over the impeachment trial. Now, he has recused himself with I don't know why. I thought he was supposed to give a reason for recusement, I think is what it's called. I don't know. I'm making stuff up now. So, I don't know if there was any statement by him other than he just said he's recusing himself. Now, the reason I assume... the reason he's recusing himself is because it's unconstitutional. And the reason he hasn't given a reason is because it's unconstitutional. And the guy is a coward. He didn't want to take up the case on the election because, well, we didn't have riots back in 2000 when we decided the election then. So we can't do it this time because there's riots. Well, the riots are from the opposition. I'm glad the founders didn't back down because of potential riots. Democracy has to be, you have to face this thing. when democracy is under attack, and it is, our republic is definitely under attack. These people hate the founding fathers. They hate the founding of our country. They hate what it stands for. They want to change it. And now you have anarchists rising up who are the people who were the useful idiots at one point. And I use that term as because that's what's in Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. And that's what we're dealing with here. They're using that as their playbook. The useful idiots are the ones who will go out there and create chaos, and they will let them go and let them do that because it makes the person in charge look bad, which was their whole plan. And strangely enough, it was only in Democrat cities, I mean 99% of them were Democrat cities that were messed up. And they just let it go. I mean, there were some where there was, you know, riots trying to break out, and they were controlled. There were, but most of these ones, the ones that were just ridiculous and let go for, and even like the Chaz thing and all that stuff, the autonomous zone, was allowed to perpetuate because of Orange Man Bad. They thought it looked bad on Trump for them to let that happen. Oh, look, we have riots in the street. Well, who's doing the rioting? It's not the Trump supporters. And I would beg to say that most of the instigation of what happened on the 6th of January were not Trump supporters. They were anarchists. And there may have been some Trump supporters there who thought that they were, you know, upholding their righteous duty to take down the usurpers. And I get that. I understand it. I'm not saying I condone it. I just say I understand it. We know in hindsight now that that was probably a bad idea. And, it was a bad idea. It's not probably a bad idea. It was a bad idea. However, you know, it's the bureaucrats now that have made this thing into something else. And now this incitement of insurrection is what they're going after Trump on now. So, what does all that mean? I mean, they didn't have a hearing. This was a kangaroo operation where they just voted, got it through, pushed it through. No hearings in the House. Took the articles over yesterday. Articles of impeachment, carry them over to the Senate. Now, I guess there's going to be a trial on February 8th. So they have this issue. They have this problem because Chief Justice Roberts is not going to preside over this thing. So who is? They have to decide who that's going to be. Well, guess who they've determined is going to be doing that? Senator Leahy. A senator. A sitting senator is going to be presiding over the impeachment trial. And here's the insanity. Here's their thinking. This is what they're going to do. Get this. This is rich. Senator Leahy will still be allowed to vote in the Senate hearing at the end of this whole thing. So not only is he the presiding judge over the trial, he's also on the jury. Isn't that great? This is what you call a kangaroo court. That's the only name I can call it that's G-rated. Because this is just stupid. And it is obviously a sham. So, having said all that, we're going to get right into the whole Rand Paul show with George Stephanopoulos. Is that a real name? These people just come up with these names. I think when he was growing up, he heard, you know, he watched Sesame Street and saw a Snuffleupagus. He thought, I want to name something like that. I'll just go with Stephanopoulos. I'm George Snuffleupagus, or Stephanopoulos, excuse me. Yeah. He's got a big nose, purple, big purple furry thing. So I want to try to play this. Of course, like I said, this is live, and we never know what's going to happen because I don't edit anything because I'm too lazy. So we're gonna play this thing with Rand Paul here, see if it works. If it doesn't, let me know, okay? Because it will then, you know, because it won't matter by that point. Whoops, it just went away. I'm gonna play it here. Here it comes.
And 75% of Republicans agree with me is that we do need to look at election integrity, and we do need to see if we can restore confidence in the elections.
Well, 75% of Republicans agree with you because they were fed a big lie by President Trump and his supporters who say the election was stolen. Why can't you say
Where you make a mistake is that people coming from the liberal side like you, you immediately say everything's a lie instead of saying there are two sides to everything. Historically, what would happen is if I said that I thought there was fraud, you would interview someone else who said there wasn't. But now you insert yourself in the middle and say the absolute fact is that everything I'm saying is a lie.
Well, because, Senator, I said what the president said was a lie because he said, hold on a second, he said the election was stolen.
So I want to jump in here real quick. Rand hits it right. He's okay. Now, maybe George Stephanopoulos has never said that everybody is lying, but this is the news media narrative, and George is following it. George may not have said it at that moment, but that's what they are saying. Rand is basically putting into context everything that they're saying, whether they've actually said the specific words or not. This is the narrative that he's pointing out to them. Is that, you know, you're just saying everything's a lie. And that's where he's going with that. And it's, you know, Rand is trying to call him out on this whole thing. And basically calling him out as he is a Democrat. He's not a commentator. He's not a journalist. He is he's on the left wing. He's the arm of the left of the left. He's an arm of the left. The right wing of the left arm. I don't know. The right arm of the left wing. Something like that. I don't know. But I digress.
This election was not stolen. The results were certified in every single state after counts and recounts.
See, the whole idea of this thing was it was certified. The election was certified, so therefore it was not stolen. Not stolen because it was certified. In many cases, the certifications had a timeline that they had to have them certified by a certain time. They were certified before there were any hearings. They were certified before 2,500 affidavits came forward. Sworn affidavits came forward of election fraud. And not all of them were like individual. Oh, I saw my neighbor cheat. I saw them running 30,000 ballots through the machine three times, kind of stuff. It was, the votes were swapped. 6,000 votes were switched. I was driving a truckload of ballots from one state to another, and then the trailer disappeared after I parked it overnight. And we still haven't found it. It was thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of ballots were in a shredder. You know, just a little stuff like that. That wasn't examined until way after the election, after the thing had been certified. In many states, they rushed to get the results certified to pass the thing off their plate. Just because it was certified. You know, there's been a lot of things certified in the world that have been wrong. So don't give me this baloney that, it was certified. It was certified in every state, so therefore it wasn't stolen. Period. End of story. Definitive. Just like all the elections were certified in 2016, too, George boy. And for 4 years, we heard nothing else but Russia collusion. Illegitimate president. Yeah. And we did investigations for years after the election on that whole deal for the purpose of overturning the election. That's what their purpose was. If they would have proved collusion with Russia from the Trump campaign, I guarantee you they would have overturned the election and reinstalled Hillary Clinton. That was their goal. But they, you know, after 2 years with the Mueller report and $40 million and whoever knows how much more than that there was actually spent on that circus. So I digress. Once again, I digress.
Absolutely. You're saying there was no fraud and it's all been investigated. And that's just not true.
So it's not what I said, sir. I said the Department of Justice found no evidence.
Let me finish
my point.
He goes, well, that isn't what I said. You're saying there's no fraud but that is what he's saying. Or else he's saying, well, there was fraud, but it was certified, so therefore it doesn't matter anymore. Is that what he's saying? Is it, want to get more specific about it? It was fraud, but it doesn't matter. And of course, he's going to bring up the whole Department of Justice thing and everything that Barr came out and said without looking at anything. Barr just came out and said there was nothing to see here.
I mean, it was not true.
You say we're all liars. You're just simply saying we're all liars. And
I said it was a lie that the election was stolen.
The premise that you're right and we're wrong. Well, let's talk about the specifics of it. In Wisconsin, tens of thousands of absentee votes had only the name on them and no address. Historically, those were thrown out. This time, they weren't. They made special accommodations because they said, oh, it's a pandemic, and people forgot what their address was. So they changed the law after the fact. That is wrong. That's unconstitutional. And I plan on spending the next 2 years going around state to state and fixing these problems, and I won't.
Now, it's interesting that he says this because one of Trump's initiatives right now is to establish. I was going to open with this. I totally forgot it. Can you believe I forgot something? I was going to open with this. You know, I don't even know if this is true. I don't even know if it's true. But you know what? If it's not true, it should be. And it's still funny, even if it's not true. Because here's, you're going to love this. The office of the former president. Oh my gosh. The office of the former president is going to establish an election integrity association or an organization of some kind. I guess, I don't know if this is happening or not, but if it is, it's probably one of the best jokes I've heard in a long time because of after the election, you know, we had this whole thing of office of the president elect from the office of the president elect. And everywhere you looked, every time Joe Biden would read off a teleprompter, they had behind him, they always had the office of the president elect. Like he was, you know, that they had to have that image of here he is, he's the president. He's a certified president. He's valid. He's not illegitimate. He's done this. He's won. They had to continue with those optics. So they had to have this name for him called the Office of the President-Elect, which I assume the location of that office was probably in Joe's basement. I'm assuming. I don't know if the next Office of the President-Elect will be in Joe's basement. It probably will be, but I don't know. Who knows? So now I guess Trump is calling himself the Office of the former president. I just think that's hilarious. If he didn't do that, he should. I don't know if somebody just came up with that idea or what happened there. So Rand is talking about going around the country and doing election integrity investigations. So he's talking about doing that kind of thing. I wonder if he's going to be on that commission because that's if Trump is actually going to do that. You know, if we can establish election integrity, you know, he's going to try to fight back against all this stuff that they're trying to pass, like no voter ID and all that kind of stuff that they're trying to put through Congress right now, banning voter ID, and probably getting rid of the Electoral College or having some kind of There's some kind of legislations out there that have been tried to be passed in some states where if your state voted for candidate A, but the rest of the electoral colleges, if the majority of the electoral colleges in other states went for the other candidate B, then you would automatically apply all of your electoral college votes to candidate B from that state. That, in my opinion, would cause my head to pop off. If I lived in a state that way, or any state, if any state started doing that, that is a total misrepresentation. You talk about disenfranchising millions of people. That is the most ridiculous idea with the Electoral College I've ever heard of. And I don't understand it. So, because that brings up a whole bunch of issues. And first of all, it's even worse than a popular vote at that point. But because there's a lot of issues there. So Rand is talking about this going around the country doing that. And my understanding is that one of Trump's initiatives is that he's going to have a nationwide council, basically. It's going to go around and examine all the voter stuff issues. So I digress again. Here we go. Back to the interview.
Out by liberals in the media who say, there's no evidence here and you're a liar if you talk about election fraud. No, let's have an open debate. It's a free country.
There is no widespread evidence of election fraud that overturned the results. That was stated as well by the Department of Justice led by...
Okay, he said there's no widespread evidence of election fraud. I think he meant there's no evidence of widespread election fraud. I think he meant it the other way around, but I think that's what he said. And just saying it's not there doesn't mean it's not there. Okay, they are just choosing not to look at it, which is the most frustrating thing in the world. This is like 2 + 2 = 5. And I think this is probably the most telling thing when we're dealing with the mainstream media right now, is that they're trying to, for 2 years everybody was saying there's no evidence of Russia collusion. Well, the evidence is in plain sight. The evidence is in plain sight. Okay, what is the evidence? Well, it's in plain sight. You can see it right there. What is it? I would at least say what it is. Well, it's right there. He's got specific examples of things. And yet, every time, and there's hundreds of specific examples, but all they keep saying is, there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. Well, I'd say it's pretty widespread, because we've got hundreds of examples in every state. That's pretty widespread. If you had hundreds of people getting killed by one guy in almost every state, that's pretty widespread. You'd call it a widespread serial killer, I'm pretty sure. And when it's something serious, this is serious, and they're not calling it that, in my opinion, because Cindy's
supporting
me.
And Trump's attorney general. In Wisconsin, there were counts and recounts.
Actually, it was
never
studied. Even that's not true.
William Barr said that directly.
But there was, yes, he said that, yes. That was a pronouncement. There has been no thorough examination of all
the states
to see what problems we had and see if they could fix them.
Thank you, Rand Paul, for saying that. That was a pronouncement. Rand knew exactly what was going on there. Is there any doubt, seriously, about Bill Barr's allegiance to the truth in any of this? We had a Durham report that was supposed to come out, an investigation. This is all under Attorney General Barr's watch. We had a laptop show up that got given to the FBI, Christopher Wray and Bill Barr sat on that thing since a year ago December because they didn't want to mess. Their excuse, this is their excuse. Well, we don't want to do anything that interferes with a potential, that would be considered as interfering with an election, with an election candidate. Oh, okay. But spying on an election candidate, a candidate is okay. Well, we didn't directly spy on President Trump, on President-elect Trump, on the elector, the, yeah, we didn't spy on that guy. Oh, we didn't spy on him. No. They spied on everybody around him. They used people around him to put under investigation. This is the way they do it. They'll plant somebody or use somebody that they have used. Christopher Steele was all a part of this. And then they come after, what was the guy's name? I can't remember the guy's name. He was a former CIA operative who had been used kind of similarly in other situations. But because he was in this, happened to be in this circle, they were able to monitor his phone calls, which just happened to be connected to the campaign. So they were listening in on Trump's phone calls. Not wittingly, Senator. When Clapper was asked if the CIA spied on U.S. citizens, he said no. Had his hand on his top of his forehead, rubbing his forehead, looking down at his desk. And then the senator asked him again, because the senator knew better. And he said, so you're telling me that the CIA does not listen in or record any phone calls, any communications with U.S. citizens? Not wittingly, Senator. So you just went from a definitive no to a, well, we don't mean to. It wasn't, you know, we don't mean to do it that way. You bet your butt they do. They absolutely mean to do it that way. They will plant somebody that they can investigate, usually because of false charges made up by some journalist somewhere that they're working with, or some other operative from another country in the Five Eyes. That's absolutely their MO. And these are the people. We're supposed to trust these people, and yet these are the people that were protecting us from 9/11. Terrorists got into our country, took over airplanes, crashed them into buildings. And maybe you don't even believe that happened. I don't know. I don't know what you believe about that. I was in the airline industry at that time, and I know what happened. Those were real airplanes. And real people on them, with real flight crew. So don't tell me it didn't happen. And don't tell me the government was flying the airplanes. They screwed up big time. You know, our intelligence agencies basically have become a political arm in this country. They'll sit on information like Hunter Biden's laptop and use it to control the candidate. Oh, if you don't behave, if you don't do what we want you to, we got this information on you, and you know, you better behave. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard the interview with the former CEO of Overstock.com. I may do a show on that tomorrow morning. I think I've talked about it before, but I'm going to talk about it again, because if you haven't heard that, I think go back in the episodes and take a look. I'll see if I can find the episode number. If I did do an episode on it, which I believe I did, I'll go ahead and talk about the episode number tomorrow morning. But because I think it's important to understand what's going on with our intelligence agencies and how they are politically involved and who is behind it all. At the time of the whole Hillary Clinton thing, when they thought Hillary Clinton was going to be the president, they made it very clear that Barack Obama was the one who wanted to control her. And the big thing he wanted to make sure happened was that Obamacare, the health care bill, the Affordable Health Care Act, would remain intact during Hillary's administration. So with all that going on, I mean, and now you see it again. I mean, it's now out in plain sight because now you see it with Hunter's laptop. They didn't do anything with it. And there's stuff on that laptop that any one of us would have had on our laptop. It would have been, we would be in jail today. But they're talking about having to have a special counsel because the special counsel can spend all kinds of time digging dirt up on people, and then they use that. They don't, and then they get done like this Durham report, the stupid Durham report thing. We were expecting something to come out on that whole thing. Nothing comes out. Nope. Well, we searched for almost a year here and can't find anything. Nope. Can't. There's nothing out there. I don't even know if the Durham even exists. All I keep seeing is that one picture of him like staring at the. He's staring at the camera with his eyebrows are down and he's got the big beard and sticking arms. Looks like he's really mean. I don't even know if the guy's real or not. It could just be a composite pic. I've never seen the guy. He's never made any public statements that I know of. I guess I could do some digging on the internet, see if I can find something. That would take work, and it's it's too early in the week for that. So I don't know. I don't know about you. But I don't have a whole lot of confidence in the structures and the systems that we have now. Like a little magic fairy there just came rolling through. I think I have tomorrow's trash day. Has to remind me of that. Like I'm not going to figure that out when the trash is all piled up all around the house. So, I think I need all I have today is water. A little bit of water. Because, wow, that's really loud. I think I need to take care of some of the sound issues in here. I need to get a new microphone for down here, too. Yeah, I'll leave that to spend some more money. Just keep doling out money because I make so much doing this. Because you guys, that's right. You guys aren't paying anything for this. This is all free to you. This is all free entertainment for you. I know there's a heavy cost involved. I know it's tough. So I feel your pain. I feel your pain. I see. I wrote down here on my notes, office of the former president. I was going to start with that and say, I'm live coming to you from the office of the never will be president. It's the news according to me. That's what I was going to do. I thought that would be a pretty good intro. The office of the never will be president. The news, according to me. Yeah, that would be a good intro. I think I might want to do that tomorrow or maybe tonight. By the way, tonight's show, Rabbi Rick will probably be with us. And so hopefully he'll be with us. There's a snowstorm here right now. Hopefully he'll be able to get here. But he's one of those Dakotans. He's from South Dakota. So he knows how to drive through the snow, eh? The snow stuff further, don't you know? He doesn't talk like that, but I do when I'm imitating people like that. So let's talk about a few other things. We got, there's still troops in D.C. Now, this is all part of the charade. And at least some governors have had the wherewithal to say, hey, you guys are using our troops as props. This whole fence thing, the troops, all this whole... I think they are literally living in fear. Some of them are. Or at least they're trying to portray it. I don't know whether they really believe. If they take down the fence, it's going to be overrun by 80 million people who disagree with the election. I'm not saying that would be a bad idea. But I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to happen. So they have to have these troops there to continue to show this facade, this picture, this narrative that President Trump is so dangerous. He's so dangerous that if they take down the fence and take the troops away, he will order an attack on them. Because that's how dangerous it is. Now, I don't know. There are still riots going on in the country by people who are attacking the Democrat offices, but they are anarchists. They're saying they won't be ruled by anyone. They don't want Biden. They don't want anybody. They got signs that say it. So I don't know exactly who they're afraid of. These people that they were using, they've kind of let them build up their numbers. Now they got them to worry about. Of course, there'll still be blaming Trump for them as well, probably. But they still have troops there. Some of the governors have called them back, which is a good idea. But of course, the Congress still wants the troops there, and I guess Biden's okay with that. One other thing I wanted to talk about this morning, and this keeps coming up, and I've seen this happen so many times, but it's just one of those points that I think it needs to talk about. I think we need to talk about this. And I'm going to use Governor Whitmer in Michigan as an example, because this is the perfect example. Governor Whitmer was, there was an attempt, or at least there was communication that was intercepted by some guys that apparently wanted to kidnap her and take her off to Wisconsin and have a trial and all kinds of weird stuff. And it was kind of a weird, goofy thing. They were initially called Trump supporters, right wingers, white supremacists, whatever they were called, which is all the same. That's all in their mind. That's all the same. If you're a white supremacist person, you're basically you're a Trump supporter. So that's what they portrayed it initially. That's what they kept saying. Now, the problem was all of a sudden. I don't know if you remember that all went away really quickly. No talk about that. No talk about the trial. Just came, you know, locally here, we had some blurbs about the trial. We had some blurbs about this and that. But basically, for the most part, there was nothing. There was nothing from the media nationally about this. The whole event just kind of all of a sudden went away. And they were, of course, they gave praise to the FBI for the wonderful job that they did in protecting the governor of Michigan. Now, here's that, and that's all well and good. Okay, so good thing she didn't get kidnapped, all that stuff. I'm glad they protected her. Yeah, that's all good. So now, here's the problem. If there are people that if you say something about the policies of Governor Whitmer now, if you say something bad about her policies or bad about her at all, they will treat you like you're one of those people who want to kidnap her. They tried to kidnap her, and they tried to take, you know, try. They were going to take her to trial. And they use that to justify her policy, like as if you have to be nice to her because they were going to kidnap her. You can't talk like that about her because, and I've made some comments on YouTube, which I do occasionally. About every day, I make some kind of comment. And I've actually had people, and it's not just about her. There's other times I've noticed this has happened, where someone receives threats of some kind. And nobody's been threatened, I don't think, more than Rand Paul. These guys have been threatened a lot. Rand has been shot at. He's been, you know, almost overrun by mobs of people. His neighbor beat him up, put him in the hospital. He's in bad shape. The guys that, you know, Scalise got shot, or what's the guy's name? The one senator, was Scalise? I don't know. I think got shot, barely survived. I mean, he's lucky to be alive. That's all well and good. And I feel for those guys. However, that has nothing to do with their policy. If they have bad policy, I will crack down on them fast, just as fast as anybody else. I don't care that you got shot at, that you did, you know, went through all that. That has nothing to do with your policy or how good your policies are. It doesn't give you an excuse or a card to give you some kind of, we got to give you a pass on this ridiculous policy because you were shot at or you were, you know, you had an attempted kidnapping. It has nothing to do with it. We have to step back and be objective about the policy. Now, you can honor the person for what they went through. Respect them for what they went through. But the people who really, I think, probably deserve more honor and more and to be lifted up as more courageous are the people who rescued him. The Capitol Police who were there that day who dragged him off that field, who went after the guy who was shooting, and tried to protect the senators, the congressmen, whatever they were. So, yeah, that's just my little thought on that for the day. So once again, this morning show has become a little bit longer than I had planned. So later today, I'm expecting Rabbi Rick to be with us later, and we will be discussing many of these points with a lot more laughter involved. I'm hoping that at some point today, the TNA to me singers, for those of you who don't know what that means, the TNA to me singers, the news according to me, TNA to me, the number two with me after it, the TNA to me singers, they're going to come in probably today or tomorrow, and they're talking about doing a jingle. You guys realize these guys just live in my head because I'm all of them. But so just a little disclaimer, don't tell anybody. So these guys are they're coming in to talk about doing a complete jingle about the news according to me, that have like a new show, a new song for the show. So we're gonna see how that goes. And we're probably going to talk about more of the same stuff I talked about this morning, but also what's going on with Fosse, Anthony Fosse, and what's happening with him nowadays. Some of Biden's latest comments, some of the things he's been going on, talking about. The weird thing where he was signing executive orders. They call them EOs, executive orders. And he's just like trying to figure out where to pick up a pen and where to set it. And he's like pushing books around and doesn't know what to do with them. And somebody else has to come up and they're all standing around him like, make sure if he doesn't fall off his chair, make sure if he says something stupid or doesn't do something, we'll all be right here to jump on what he's doing. They're all staring at him like, okay, let's watch the bumbling man try to get through this. It's just this whole presidency so far in the last week has just been a made-for-TV show. It's just a show. Everything's about the optics. We're all wearing our masks and we're all standing 6 feet apart and we're all standing here watching the elected one, wink wink, say no more. Signing these books. It's a book signing. And then at one point he says, okay, here, I'm not even sure what I'm actually signing. He's like looking at it going, I don't even know what I'm actually signing here. He's like thinking out loud. That's like he typically does. He says the quiet part out loud. He says the part you're not supposed to say. You're just supposed to say it in your head. He says it out loud. So I'm not sure. What? Now you're going to notice, I think what you're going to find here in the next couple months, he's going to have a harder and harder time cognitively getting around, moving. His speech will begin to slur more. He'll start to stutter more. He's going to have some very lucid moments, and he's also going to have some very, very bad moments. And here's the problem. The president's schedule is an absolute, it is busier than busy, especially right now with everything that's going on with COVID and all the other stuff. And now we're sending troops back into Syria. All the stuff that's happening there, that's all flying under the radar because of the fact that, oh, we have a new president. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Let's fawn over him some more. Let's talk about his ice cream, which they are actually doing. Let's talk about his cat, the first cat. Oh, the president's cat is the first cat. First lady, the first cat. Yeah, whatever. Let's talk about that while we go send our troops to Syria. Why we're doing that. While we shut down our energy sector that kept us out of war in the Middle East. Yeah. So that's all I got to say about that. The rest of the day, hey, enjoy your day. And hopefully I'll have this up here before noon. The morning show hopefully will be posted before noon. Yeah, it probably will be. I don't know. We'll see. I might take a nap first. We'll see what happens. I'm tired. This show wears me out. So, yes, once again, have a great day. God bless. And hopefully we will have some more interesting events throughout the day. Like, nothing happened today. That would be interesting. That'd be cool. Yeah. Ain't gonna happen. I'm sure there's gonna be some kind of weird gaffe. Something's gonna happen. We'll find out. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.